Yeah, I'll have a large extra butter popcorn, and she'll have snow caps? Really? Snow caps? They taste like cardboard. Okay.
Come along, it's time for you to listen to the interview from DC to MCU. It's time for Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews.
You're talking to us like we're the problem. You were the one that was late, Mr. Gennaro.
My daughter had to go. She left her wallet at Wendy's, so we had to go and figure that out.
Oh, doesn't she have a car?
You didn't specify either. You just said left at Wendy's, and I thought you were like you just abandoned your child and forgot.
I'm not that much of a dick.
She's 18. She can find her way home.
Yes, I actually did tell her,
the rest of us.
I did tell her, I'm like, hey, you know, you can just go drive there and get yourself. She's like, what? I'm like, no, I'll take you because, you know, it's a wallet, it's her ID, it's literally everything. No, we went there for lunch today, and when we were leaving, she's like, all right, I'm ready to go. I'm like, hey, well, you got your wallet? Like, you need to have your ID on you literally at all times when you leave this house. And she's like, oh, okay. And then she forgets that at Wendy's.
Yeah.
And yes, I realized after I had sent the message to you guys that I'm going to be a little late, that I didn't specify to you two in particular, because Chris is on a actual message to him. That I did not say it was her wallet. I just said she left it at Wendy's or something. And I'm like, oh, in my head, I told you guys. In my head, I said it. I guess I just didn't type it out.
Yeah.
Ah, well.
Well, much like Joe Gennaro being an awful parent because he takes his daughter to Wendy's, we watched Star Trek
Wendy's.
3, The Search for Spock. Brothers, sisters, gender resistors, welcome to another episode of the only, well, one of many, actually. I looked up because Joe only has 147 of these shows. Where we review anything and everything on Joey's stupid arbitrary list of comic book paraphernalias. This is, of course, the comic book rundown. Bringing you rundown reviews. Listen, I'm a broken man, Joe. I don't know if you know this. You made me watch another Star Trek movie.
you did message in the group chat with us earlier this week that you were kind of dragging, like, watching this and watching a couple other movies on our Getting Franchised series.
Uh-huh.
That you were like, I can't, like, this.
The thing is, I got through the two worst ones, and then you were like, "Ah, let's just push it back to next week."
I asked you because I would. Damn it!
I got through the worst of it, and then the one good movie we had to watch. You're like, "Nah, let's just push it back to next week."
Well, when you messaged him though, Chuck, you did say that you were only starting the second bad movie.
Which I was contractually, I had to watch this weekend.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
So we watched
anyway.
Joe just holding a gun to our heads and forcing us to do things is the contract. So, yeah.
That's just Chuck. I actually like
you
being
guys
here.
In my love and adoration.
That's true. He did send a jar of it to you, Chuck. You should get it in the mail sometime.
Yeah, maybe next week.
Yeah, that's true.
Much like, and luckily it's cold out, so it should still be, you know.
That's true, it is. Much like every other toxic and abusive relationship I've been in, it's very hard for me to leave.
So. We love you here. We love
just,
you.
Just like, just like Nimoy's point of view of Spock.
yeah, because apparently he was supposed to be done and gone after the Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, but, until he realized that his bread maker was gone.
No, until he realized he could strike a better deal.
Mm-hmm. Which is hilarious because he got a better deal. Granted, he is one of the main cast members, but Christy Alley could not get a better deal. And her character of Savick definitely had a bigger role in this movie.
Well, I hope he got a better deal on this one. Didn't he direct this one?
Well, that was part of the deal. The director of the last one was so ticked off that they changed the ending. They wanted Spock to be permanently dead. And when the test audiences lost their darn minds over it, they needed to change it to have some sort of hope. So they wanted Nicholas Meyer to come back. He's like, oh, I ain't coming back at all if we're going to do this. So Nimoy realized how popular it was, to your point, breadwinner at that point. He said, fine, here's what I want instead. I'll come back on two conditions. One, we get this guy named Harv Bennett to come back and continue writing, and then I get to direct the next two movies. And so to close out the trilogy, and they're like, well, we get Spock back and we have a director, even though we wanted Nicholas Meyer. So fine, do whatever.
I mean, I will give Spock some credit on this one. It was better than the previous two. I mean, that's a low, 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 low bar.
For you guys, sure. Because I'm assuming, like, obviously, I've seen this, Chris. You've seen this before. Ron, Chuck, first time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Never seen this before.
I'm not even sure I watched it this time, to be fully honest with you. So
I'm not really seeing you too clearly at all, either.
I'm just trying to figure out where the DeLorean was and how Doc Brown got the... the whole makeup thing.
So what are those guys called?
Klingons. Okay, they're the shit you can't get rid of in your butt hair, dude. Man, they're Klingons.
I mean, you're not wrong. So I'm very confused. And are they supposed to be smart?
Depends on the Klingon.
Yeah. Okay, because they act really smart, but their leader's a fucking moron.
No. They act like they're superior.
There you go.
Because they're better than everyone, and they know it. They're just the only ones.
Okay. So, and then my second follow-up question is, so you're saying that this concept of, like, the Vulcans never really die, or their spirit gets transmuted, or essentially they haunt somebody and make them go put their soul back into, like,
Into their body, is what it sounds like. They're just supposed to take them back to Vulcan so they can be, you know...
Right.
To rest, yeah.
They put a copy of what they call the Katra, his you know, it's kind of like the backup, but I guess the rumor was, like, they asked, like, what if that never happened and McCoy just continued to be like this? What would have happened? They said he would have gone mentally insane and probably never seen the light of day.
And this was this a concept from, like, the show? Or did they write this and create this so they could bring Spock back?
They took an idea and expanded upon it. So to your point, yes and no. It was an idea. They built it up a lot more than they expanded on in the show.
Okay.
They just never dealt with, like, you could put an exact copy. They more hinted and danced around it, kind of like the whole Pon Farr thing. They went really hard into that.
And then they just so happen from the second one to just make the stupidest concept of, we can just Genesis Project accidentally make a new Spock body.
Yeah, we can basically get, like, yeah,
except his name was
the whole like Genesis thing ended up, like you said, restarting the body again and going back is, like, linked to the planet, so he's aging with the planet.
Except his name was Mark the Sixth in that one. That's what it said on his coffin.
He's not. It's all good. This is one, two, three, and four, and six are the Star Trek movies I've probably seen the most. Why not five?
Is five bad? Is five gonna suck? Oh, are we gonna hate five?
You for five. You're on your own. I'll enjoy listening to that one.
Yeah, thanks. Five is one I've never finished. That tells you anything. Those four movies are the ones I remember the most growing up. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is, like, I remember Christopher Lloyd as the leader. Krug, thank you. Which, funny enough, they only say his name once. And never to Shatner, or never to Kirk, which is kind of fun. So he never knows who this guy is. that kills his son. Which I also thought that the reason he killed David was because Kirk killed his dog. Just nice little retaliation
there. That's fair. I mean,
it is also kind of pretty on par here for Kirk that he cares more about his friend than he did his fucking son.
Yeah.
But like, he didn't know his son. I mean, fuck that kid.
Yeah, but he acts like he did. Like, he acts like he gave a shit about his son until the moment of, like, hey, you should probably, like, do something to save your son. And then you do this, like, stupid, dramatic, like, oh, woe is me. I've lost my son. But as long as I get my best friend back, that's all I fucking care. Bros before sons, I guess. I don't know.
Wait. Well, he has a line in Six movie where he says, "I've never trusted Klingons, and I never will. I'll never forgive them for the death of my boy."
Yeah, that's like the crux of that movie too. That's why I remember. Yeah. I for whatever reason, because it's been so long since I've seen all these movies, I was thinking that David died in 2 because of Khan. But I'm like, well, no, wait, that. Remembering it reminds me of 6, which is like, oh yeah, the reason is Christopher Lloyd's character kills him offhandedly.
Fridged his son.
Basically, yeah. We also get John Larroquette in this movie as well. He was the other Klingon that was like loyal to Christopher Lloyd's character. He's the last one left there when they get back onto the Bird of Prey ship.
Is he the guy that every time he goes up to Christopher Lloyd, Christopher Lloyd's about to murk him, and he's like, actually, you need me because I have this piece of information?
Kinda, sorta.
Yeah.
Okay.
I particularly like it when they decide they have no other way to go but to destroy the Enterprise. And not only listening to the codes, it made me laugh, saying, man, this is almost as bad as someone puts on a suitcase. But
oh, dude, laziest self-destruct codes ever.
And when they're going, the only thing everyone's gone, but the only thing speaking is the computer. Here, let me listen. And it's counting down. I said, that is the coldest way to wipe these guys out at that point.
Yeah.
And what was it? Bones' line to him, McCoy's line to him. Said, what you've always done, turned to what was it? A moment of a sheer a moment of death into a chance to live.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's more like though he turns a bad situation into a worse situation.
Yeah, because every time. Home.
Right? Yeah, because if they didn't get onto the Bird of Prey, like they would have been stuck on a dying planet.
Mm-hmm.
That was literally dying in front of their face. Which, funny enough, the very beginning, we get Kirk talking about how the trainee crew got reassigned, and then David and Savik are on the Genesis working with the scientists.
Yeah.
And then I figured that the trainee crew was just because they didn't want to pay those actors to come back.
Well, they didn't want to pay too much of anybody this time. They had the minimalist crew they could have.
They did, yeah, right.
Oh, and another thing, McCoy admits to being a time clock theft on this one, or the fraud of like his times, like I've been saying for the past two movies. Where he's like, it'll take me 12 hours to do this.
Scotty,
he's like,
I need McCoy.
Scotty,
what I meant.
Does it by multiples of 4?
Yeah,
because he's brilliant. That way, when he makes it succeed in 2 minutes. He's like, yeah, you guys think I'm a genius. It's job security.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was going to the Excelsior to be the new chief of engineering for the Excelsior.
Uh-huh. I do that in my job all the time. I constantly double the amount of time that I think it's going to take me.
That way, when you get it done in normal time.
Oh, see, I just don't give them time. I just tell them it'll done when it's done.
No. You got to give time. I work at a place where I have to have my times. But I double my time so then I can just fuck off the other half of the time.
Yeah, that works.
And remember, like, never do anything. And if you're good at something, never do anything for free.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, trust me. I exploit that as much as humanly possible. Yeah. I'm also not good at most things in my job. So it actually works out pretty well for me. Because then I just like kind of balance it out with also doing a really aggressively mediocre product. So,
okay.
Hey, you know what? As long as they're happy with the aggressively mediocre, keep at it.
Hey, that's marketing's job. So,
wow.
So I love it. Is it just me or the Klingons kind of like gay?
Yeah, I mean, they were. Oh, yeah. Was that not obvious? Those bridges. Like,
no, I mean, just like the way that they interacted with each other was very, yeah,
homoerotic.
More homoerotic than comerotic. You know.
I mean, look, they had a good time on that ship.
I bet. I mean, so much so that he blew up his old lady just so she didn't have to join him.
Which never, I didn't understand why he killed his mistress and didn't kill
because she watched the video.
No, I get, but I would say he didn't kill the other guy
yet.
That watched the video with him
yet.
Well, sure.
He was planning on it.
Because he was doing a terrible. That's because he's doing a terrible job when he told him to basically limp the one ship and he blew up the engine. Killing everybody. Thirsh, sir, it was a lucky shot. Yeah, this is a lucky shot too, right to your chest.
Yeah, you go bye bye.
Yeah. Also, speaking of the Klingons, they're also terrible at their jobs because when they were holding Savak and Spock hostage, they're at toward the end of the movie. They let them run off and then they chase after them. Like, they just kind of stood there and watched as the planet's being destroyed, and then watched as they ran, like, 15 feet that way.
There was a cliff there. They knew they weren't getting far.
There's also, like, jungle there, too. Like, they could have ran to the jungle, but... I don't know.
Yeah, did the planet have, like, snow, and then, like, 10 feet later have, like, a bunch of jungle features?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Haven't you ever played Minecraft?
No, I'm not. I'm not 14 or Taylor, so you know.
Whoops. No, yeah,
it's fine. I can say that he used to stream it for 12-year-olds. It was great.
Okay. Yeah. Like when they were looking at Genesis from the ship, they were like going to each sector, and each sector was like a different landmass, almost a different season.
They were trying to show that, unlike Star Wars, the planets here can have a bunch of different
ecosystems,
climates. Yeah,
yeah.
And the parent planet getting angry with itself. You'd see, you didn't even need global warming to blow it up. You just had to launch a WMD at it and make a new planet just for it to destroy itself.
Yeah, that's one thing I didn't. One thing I forgot was that David was talking about how the Genesis program, they used some kind of radioactive cells, or I can't remember exactly.
Unstable molecules or something that...
That ultimately caused the planet to blow up, basically saying that Genesis is a failure, because if they didn't use that, who knows...
It wouldn't have worked.
Who knows how long that it took them to figure it out.
Much like his dad, he turns a bad situation worse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All in the name of...
He cheated.
Well, yeah.
Cheating, yeah.
Like his dad.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't even remember what the fuck that thing was called from the last movie.
The Kobayashi Maru! I will never fucking forget it. I will never forget it because I get so goddamn angry about it.
It sounds like the main character in an anime. I don't know.
Yeah,
a little bit. We'll get back to that when we get to the...
I'm pretty sure that Kobayashi is the name of a character in an anime.
It probably is.
I'd look it up, but I can't.
They reference it in this, too. And even...
They bring it up, yeah.
Yeah, like, Kirk brings it up like a smug piece of shit that he is about the fact that he was able to outsmart the system.
His real Kobayashi Maru, he didn't end up, because Spock ended up living through it, so...
Yeah, and what was it? He used it as a code word for the for his operation to steal the Enterprise.
Yeah. Which, I'm sorry, but if you're told by your superior officer that the ship is being decommissioned, when he comes back, when Kirk comes back to him and is like, hey, like, we gotta get back to Genesis, Spock could be there, we need to go check something, yada, 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 and he tells you no, even for a ship that is gonna be decommissioned and destroyed, and he still tells you no, and you take it, how are you coming back and gonna be an admiral?
They stopped the Klingons from getting the Genesis, so he was a hero again.
But he's not, because he's literally breaking like so many, like that's AWOL. Like what the fuck? Like what?
Oh, they list wait, they'll list all the charges soon.
Yeah, that is true. Yes, but he also dragged in, you know, his crew members. He dragged in Scotty, who, you know, sabotaged another starship, a brand new starship.
I do like the line when he comes out for meeting and saying he's not going to be able to take the Enterprise and do whatever. He says, the word is no. I'm therefore going anyways. Well, you can count on us, sir. Good. I need the help.
Yeah, he does.
It's really weird watching Kirk be rapey to not women in this movie, but yet here he is, not taking no for an answer and still doing whatever he wants.
Because
he was going to get inside the
Enterprise to do it. They've allowed.
He was
going to
get inside the Enterprise one way or another.
Yeah, it's going to say this time he's just fucking a ship instead of a woman. So.
So at time of recording, it was just announced that William Shatner will be starring in the new show about him. Is that right, Chris?
He says he wants to come back.
William Shatner's still alive.
Yeah,
he's gonna be. He's actually gonna be at Comic-Con.
I thought we jettisoned him into space or something.
He got killed by a bridge.
So he's gonna be at Comic-Con here in a couple months. Part of me wants to go up to him and be like, instead of praising him for being the guy on Star Trek, praise him for being the guy on what commercial was it?
The Priceline?
Glazer and Ebb's commercial or Priceline or something.
Oh, yeah.
93-year-old confirmed that he's in talks to potentially return as Captain Kirk. Well, that's going to be rather difficult considering your character in universe.
Thank you. That's what I was thinking when I saw that, but still
fun. But you know what? We can go back in time. No one's dead. No one stays dead until they bring him back to life with a better story.
Plus, I mean, in the movies, it's a multiverse now because of what happened. Like, they could find something somewhere.
Right.
Yay! Chuck, you okay over there?
Yeah, sorry. That just like broke my brain. The idea that he's coming back. Also, I still will. The only thing I've ever loved from William Shatner is when he got back from the going into space with what's his nuts, and he just has this like existential like. Life has no meaning because now I've actually gone into space and everything is bad. If you've never seen the clip, it's really fucking funny watching the people like interview him. And he's just like, I don't really know what the point of life is at this point anymore. Like everything is dark and evil. And it's just like, yeah, like going into space with a billionaire for 30 seconds, just destroyed his brain.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fair. When you think about the money that they spent to fly into space, they could have spent it on anything that could have helped humanity out, but
yeah, why do that?
Well,
yeah, but don't worry, a couple rich people got to see the stars from outside the atmosphere.
Yeah, they could have, like,
we could have hit it when it came back in, and you know,
he did have that SNL skit where he basically tells the whole convention people, get a life. You know, you've turned a thing I used to pay the bills to an amazing waste of time. Have you even kissed a woman?
yes, and consensually. Oh.
That's true. Yeah. I also... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, going back to the movie, they stole some stuff from Star Wars in this, because when they go to find Spock's body and it's just an empty robe, like, come on, guys. That's giving Jedi vibes right there.
I mean, sure.
He
also, what kind of VD did Spock have to grow those massive bug crab things at his gravesite?
That wasn't him. That was whatever microbes that David used, I assumed. Or it was something the ship?
They said it was something from his pod.
They said it like it was microbes from the torpedo or whatever, I guess. But
weren't wiped out in space, of course, you know.
Yeah.
Or being jettisoned.
Or re-entry into a
birthing planet. Saying.
Yeah. Or how about you got Spock and Savick that we all know what happened off camera.
Yeah, so, there's one way to calm that.
That's what Ponfar is. It's the Vulcan has to mate during Ponfar. So
there is One thing I saw on IMDb.
That's when the kid is like going to be an excruciating amount of pain or whatever.
Yeah, he's going.
He's got to bust the nut.
Yeah, I remember being fucking going through puberty and blowing a load. Like, fucking, what are we doing here, man? Like,
that's what Ponfar is. It's the Vulcan mating. They can mate whenever they want, but when that blood boils, they gotta go.
I never realized Star Trek was so sexual, but okay.
But the next scene, they wake up, they're falling asleep next to each other at that point, and in the next one, Savick happens to be not, like, only in the movie for a little bit, and the rumor was, like, she was supposed to be pregnant with Spock's child.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually here. Apparently, in the film's novelization, Chuck, I know you love that.
Love that.
Savick and David became romantically involved. The seeds of this were planted in the previous film's novelization.
Phrasing.
Yep, totally. This storyline was completely dropped from the movies. Also, Savick became pregnant with Spock's child. This was also dropped.
Which never is revisited.
Nope.
Basically, she was just a seed carrier.
Kinda.
Like, she was going to get somebody's loading her one way or another.
Because we don't see the character. Do we see the character one more time? Is she in 4?
Yeah, she's in 4, right in the opening of 4, and that's it.
Okay. So, yeah, like...
Is she pregnant in the opening?
No, it's just highly... Like, she just happens to be staying behind for whatever made-up reason it is.
Wow. Mm. She didn't want to go back to the 80s, apparently.
Can't blame her.
Yeah. Same.
They go to the 80s?
It's the fourth movie. They save whales in the 80s. It's a whole thing. You guys are going to love it.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
I'm sorry. We got...
I'm leaving the show, Joe. I'm done.
We got to leave. No. This is
you
a strike.
You signed a contract, apparently.
Yes, this is a strike. You still have 2 more strikes. And I guarantee the next movie is going to take that strike back.
We'll see.
Now, you only got 3 more of the potentially bad Star Trek movies. And then we'll get into the Next Generation stuff.
Which also has some potentially bad movies in them, too.
Don't tell them that.
Yeah, listen, I remember Stewart walking around with the, like, weird piping on his face and thinking it looked bad back then. So I can't remember.
Oh, man. I love First Contact.
Oh, First Contact's amazing. And then it goes downhill fast.
Is First Contact the one with the Borgs?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I like that one.
Yeah.
It's the only one of them I've seen.
Generations is... I enjoy Generations only because, it's the passing of the torch, basically. But
yeah, then it ticks
does
me
Kirk
off.
Die?
Then it ticks me off at the end. Yes, because of how he dies, it ticks me off.
Yeah, that's why we were confused of how he could come back. But anyway,
well, see what happened was a little seed of him got on the planet Genesis, and
he became a symbiote, and he just leaves behind.
He had to go through Par 4 and bust a nut real quick, and yeah, that's.
I also want to say, going back to the movie, I remember the fight between Kirk and Krug being better as a kid.
What was with the fucking backflip? Like, unnecessary backflips, I don't understand them. It's just like, what? Because, and it wasn't even Kirk, it was a stunt double. Like, now, if he would have done it himself,
well,
that would have been a whole nother story.
Well, no, he would have lost his toupee and girdle at that point. That
is true. Definitely his toupee. Girdle would have probably broken. Yeah. Yeah.
Motherfucker thinks he's Leon Kennedy and
there's not much more to this movie.
Really isn't. It's a pretty straightforward of So
Simon, of course, watched this with me.
Okay.
And they're fighting with the Klingons, and the one gets kicked in the dick. Simon's like, Klingons got nards, because we watched Monster Squad a couple weeks ago, Simon and I did. So he got to see the Wolfman's Got Nards thing, and he thought he was pretty funny with that one. So I was like, yeah, I was like, I'll say something about it.
You'll bring
funny.
It up. Yeah, that's fair.
Also, is the one dude the same dude from RoboCop? Goyan, or I don't know, it was one of the crew that was on... I think the Grissom
he
ship.
Is. Yes. He's on the Excelsior ship. Yes, he is.
Or
right.
Excelsior, that's right.
Yeah, he is. Yep.
Okay, that's what I thought.
We also got Phil Morrison here, who is a big-time voice actor. You guys might, Chuck, you'll recognize him from Jingle All the Way. He was Gail Weathers, the reporter.
Oh,
at the end.
Shit. Yep, you're right.
But yeah, he also does a crap ton of voice acting. And then there was, what else was there? There was somebody else. Oh, I really thought that the admiral that Kirk is talking to was he looks a lot like Richard Pryor.
Yeah, I can see that.
Just it was a mustache.
If Richard Pryor put on some weight, because like actually, Richard Pryor is like a Richard very Pryor skinny was face.
Because that guy was
taller. No, I meant because like and like his face, like Richard Pryor's got a skinny face, like a sunken in cheek look. Yeah, the drug look, exactly.
I was going to say, pre-combustion or post-combustion? Are we talking about?
Also, last thing I got written down is Kirk is a terrible leader.
Yep. I mean, that's always true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, again, okay, you'd think he would learn from, like, his previous encounters. When you're going into a strange place where things aren't what they seem, put up your fucking shields.
The fact that he recognized something there.
There's something there. Something.
The reason he didn't worked out, because if he had, they would have probably like pissed off and like went away. So he was able to like surprise them when they came out of cloaking and attack them. So
you know, sure, but he knew that if they were going to attack him, they had to come out of the cloaking. So sure. He could have been like, okay, get ready to throw up the shields.
But
right?
You lose the dramatic effect of not being able to
both the ships up. Being shit on,
basically.
yeah. And did you notice that after they found out that like the Grissom, is that what the other ship was called, was like blown up, like they just never mentioned it ever again. They're just like, oh yeah, that's sad. Anyways,
thank you, Loki.
Another note that I have here, Chuck, which goes back to the Klingon thing. Klingon culture is just toxic masculinity.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, like, you have to be the biggest, meanest, angriest, most dominant, you know, and that's what they, you know, praise.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a note here also that they really missed out when Spock's whatever was in McCoy, because they could have called him Spockoy, but they didn't. And I feel like that's a pretty good relationship name for them too, since they kind of have like a, you know, thing going on.
They definitely became one, yes.
Yeah. Spock was definitely inside McCoy.
Yep.
Spock's transitions were super creepy. And none of those actors looked anything like the other actors, even remotely. Like from the little kid to the like preteen kid to the teen kid to the old man Spock.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
I did appreciate that's how they were going to like age him up really, really fast was, oh yeah, it's because it's still unstable and he's just rapidly aging.
As long as he's around the planet, he's going to continue to rapidly age. He would have continued rapidly age anyways, because the things that were making everything work would have still been inside of his body. That's what didn't make any sense. Like, that's how he was able to...
I don't know, because I think... I mean, because he was aging with the planet. Like, his aging was causing the planet to be destroyed.
No, that was just the planet itself.
Yeah,
the planet because of the unstable molecules they used to rapidly, aggressively age the planet so that everything could grow like it did.
So maybe because
he would have been made of the same planet, stuff.
Well, maybe because he was on it and they were destroying each other.
It dings for unexplainable science, so it's fine.
Okay, fine. That's all I care about.
Also, I do have some appreciation for the Vulcan culture, because none of those priestesses were wearing bras, and that was fantastic.
Yeah, I saw that coming. Yeah.
Also, did you notice that Spock had the Triforce on his robe?
Yeah, sort of.
And it was also, I don't know if you guys saw the picture that I sent in the group chat, but it was also on the wall behind him when he was dying.
Oh, yeah.
In the
Wrath of Khan.
Second movie, yeah.
Yeah.
In the Trash of Khan, yeah.
Anyway.
I did find it kind of funny at the end. So, okay. they get the body. They go back to fucking wherever they're supposed to go. Vulcan planet of
Vulcan.
Mount Mordor. Yeah.
Yeah, Mount Mordor. Yeah.
So they're at Mordor, right? And they flew on the Eagles because it was stupid that they didn't to begin with. And so they're there and they're like, hey, we need to do this like ancient ritual hasn't been done in a gajillion years. And we're not even sure we can do it, but let's just try it anyway. Who's got his like, his essence. Flash drive? Yeah. Who's got the flash drive? And McCoy's like, it's me. And they're like, oh, are you going to do this? Even though there's a good chance you'll die. Mind you, McCoy's ready to die. That dude is like done with it. Like he doesn't care anymore.
He's been surviving way too much longer. Yeah. He's like, you know what? I'm done.
Yeah, like, he does not care. He was willing to kill himself probably just to get Spock out of his head at this point.
Before they even mentioned there was a chance of him surviving doing this, he's like, on the table.
Yeah, he's like, ready to do it. And then, like, he's like, yes, I'll do this or whatever. And he looks over to Kirk, and Kirk, like, is like, oh my god, you're actually doing this? And his like whole response was like, did I really have a choice? Because you know Kirk would have held a fucking gun to his head and been like, I lost my son
to you.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. My son that I didn't care about. And also, friend, you're not as good as the guy I want to bring back. So please bring him back.
You're wrong in any of that assessment.
One other thing, when McCoy has Spock in him and he goes to do like the Vulcan death grip to that dude, and he's like, why isn't this working?
that was pretty funny. I did laugh at that.
I did kind of appreciate the bringing it back of this is what like center and right of center political people think diversity is, and that like McCoy, the most racist man to Vulcans ever, has like the reason to be how we get Spock back, and he has to like potentially make an ultimate sacrifice, and it's like the white savior complex for like Vulcan people coming back in. Yeah. And I was just like, wow, this is so like at the time when this came out, probably people were like, wow, I could be a good person too or something. I was just wondering, I was like, this is so bad. This is so stupid, and I hate it, and I hate you, Joe, is what I kept saying while I was watching this.
You're welcome.
Look, this movie was not a great movie, but it was refreshing from the past two. Because at least this one had, like, this is, like, the storyline of it, and then, like, it sort of, like, falls off in places, but it had a storyline. So, like, there is that.
There was okay, more. Fair. I will say there was more action in this one. It wasn't just a bunch of people standing around having a conversation for.
That's true. Also,
the first movie was definitely all, you know, exposition. They were just talking about literally everything. The second,
they couldn't afford the stunt doubles for the first and second movie.
That too. The second one had some action, but you know, not.
But it was bad action because Kirk was like doing all the fighting himself.
It wasn't great.
This movie is the definition of like intermission. This is like,
yeah. Again, it's also the middle of a trilogy of movies. Oh, yeah. You know, the fourth one is supposed to be the end of Spock coming back, like Spock's little.
Whatever, no, that makes sense, Joe. Because the second part of a trilogy is never the best movie. You know, like Star Wars or Terminator. Or any other movie, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, no, you make a lot of really logical sense there, my guy.
That's sarcasm, in case you didn't pick that up.
Oh, yet. Really? Couldn't tell. Thanks, later, Ron.
Yeah,
I
have realized that I need to explain my jokes to people because I have had interaction with, let's frank it, two women that I've tried to sleep with who had don't get my humor to the point where they wouldn't sleep with me then.
But they wouldn't sleep with you, so they didn't get your joke.
No, because they didn't get my jokes. So I gave, like, I had to literally explain like regular slang terminology to them. And I thought.
Why did you tell them you were gooning for them? And they're like, "I'm not even an evil person."
I did bring up gooning, and they didn't know what it was. And then I was like, "It's kind of like edging, but with more drool." And then they're like, "I don't know what edging is." And I was like, "Okay, we aren't going
to
work."
Are these adults that you're talking to, Chuck?
Yes, they are adults. And one of them was older than me. So
welcome to Chuck's love life.
She did kick my ass in Marvel vs. Capcom 2, though, pretty heavily. And I tried. I did try, so.
Did you say you were going to marry her because of that?
Yeah, that was. I'll ignore all the other red flags. She's probably a Star Trek fan, too, so.
Anyway.
Bring it back to the movie. You're welcome.
So kill count.
Yeah, so we've got a total of 10. Not a lot of people died in this one.
To be fair, there wasn't a lot of people.
Well, I mean, we had the whole ship get destroyed. Two ships get destroyed. But because of the Alderaan rule, that's two.
Yeah, there's also, like, what, six people on each ship? That's all we ever saw.
No. Technically, on the Grissom, there would have been, like, what, 150 people or something like that?
Something like that. It was
a fully crewed ship?
Fully crewed ship, yeah.
Yeah, but we never see it.
Well, no, you never see that many people on the Enterprise either when they have a full crew.
To be fair, we don't see.
Yeah, really.
How many
was on Grissom? Really? I mean,
no idea.
Well, because when the Klingon,
when the Klingons are talking about the ship,
and they're like, "How badly are we outnumbered?" And there are 10 Klingons on their ship, and he's like, "They're like, oh, we're probably outnumbered, you know, like 10-1." So, like, a crew of a regular Federation ship, I think they're called the Federation, right?
Yeah, Federation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's like at least 110 to 120 people, something like that.
Yeah, also, way to, like, bury what's supposed to be, like, your representation of, like, elite warrior race. Hey, we're outnumbered 10-1, so we suck. Like, they did not sell to me that, like, oh, we're outnumbered 10-1. Well, we actually still have a good fighting chance because we are a by nature warrior like race.
But I also feel like this ship in particular Klingons were like,
so this is a very small
or very like they were kicked out of something. Like
what are their planes called, or what are their ships called?
Birds of Prey.
Yeah,
so this was like the short Bird of Prey. These were their elite ops, man. Except on the opposite side of the elite spectrum.
Okay.
There it is.
All right, so...
We got there.
Bingo.
Government interference, comic logic, animal cruelty, betrayal by a friend, inability to control powers, unexplainable science, hero kills, talking tropes, and fight for control of something.
Not a lot.
And there may have been a Wilhelm scream, but I wasn't 100% sure it was. So I don't put it on there unless Joey's like, actually, there was a Wilhelm scream.
Yeah, I didn't go through all of the IMDb notes, so I couldn't tell. 'Cause sometimes I didn't hear it, but sometimes IMDb actually says it. So,
well, sometimes the weirder screams are still Wilhelm screams because they've just changed them. Like, because there's like some of them, they're like, "Ah!" And it's like, I didn't know that was until Joey was like, actually, that's a Wilhelm scream.
Yeah, of course. Fuck you. There was, according to Wikipedia, according to something, there actually is like 7 distinct Wilhelm screams. We just normally hear the main one, but there's a few others.
Oh, Joey, did you say a limb count? Do we have any lost limbs in this? I wasn't paying attention.
I didn't see one. I didn't see any limbs. Otherwise, I would have wrote it down. So no,
gotcha.
No limb count. So it goes to Chuck with our spawn cape.
Look, everything's bad. Everything is bad in this movie. Everything looks awful.
But it was still better than the last two movies.
I don't think so.
I think it was. The ships were better. In space, they were better. They moved better. It didn't look like two cutouts that were on strings fighting each other.
I thought they looked more like two like pieces of paper that they just like slid across the screen.
See, I thought it looked like two toys that somebody was holding either end of going pew, 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 pew.
Yeah, it looked, I'm going to say like 1 out of 3 spawn capes. Yeah. Like it's not, it looked, I don't know where. I can tell you the makeup was not in the like the money was not in the costumes either. Like all the practical effects stuff looked terrible. Also,
I like that dog. The dog looks fun.
Why do they keep changing the outfits but still having them suck more than the movie prior? Like,
I don't think they changed the outfits for this one. They looked, I thought they looked the exact same.
I think they were the same outfits. Yeah, it was just the difference between Kirk having it buttoned up and unbuttoned, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They still suck. They look really
dumb. Yeah, they look like garbage. Just
bring
yeah.
back the shirts. The shirts were cool.
Wait until next episode.
When they go to the 80s?
Yeah.
So, not a Muppet?
Not a Muppet.
My vote is Kirk. Bones.
Oh, okay.
Because it would be funny as shit watching him fight and get his ass kicked by a Klingon Muppet.
Okay. See, you took my, I was going to say Kirk too, because it makes for entertaining.
I was going to go Bones, so when he tries to do the Vulcan neck pinch on the Muppet and it doesn't work. It'd be hilarious.
How about David not being a Muppet?
And he's killed by the Muppet. I love it.
After he fights with it and gets thrown to the ground by it, yeah.
I'll just go for the humor then at that point.
I mean, that's really kind of
that's what not a Muppet for. Chuck, who's your vote?
Yeah, I'm with Dave. I'm going with David on this one because I want to watch him get murdered by a Muppet.
Oh, I love it. That's great. Alrighty. So that leaves us with our scores. So Chris, out of 10, what do you give this one?
A 5.
Straight 5?
Yeah. It's despite our difference of opinion on Khan, it's a step down from Khan.
Mm-hmm.
So, I said, it's the intermission.
It's not the better middle trilogy, huh, Chuck?
No, it is definitely not. Absolutely not.
No.
Speaking of Chuck, what do you give us?
All right, is this a Star Trek movie? Well, I hated it like it was a Star Trek movie, so I guess.
I want Chuck one time to say, "Is this a Star Trek movie?" Yes, but I'm going to say it's no. It's not a Star Trek movie.
Listen,
that'll be when we get a good one.
Yeah. Well, listen. I hear we're going to the 80s, so I don't know. We'll find out. Look, I will say that I was just bored during this. Like this movie, I felt indifferent about. And it does feel like a filler movie. It felt like a cash grab just to keep this like franchise relevant to work towards what the third act of this trilogy is going
to
be.
That's all three of these movies was just to keep it relevant, but
yeah, I know. But like this really felt like that. Like this really felt like a hey, we are contracted to release a certain number of movies, so we're just going to check this box and do this thing versus trying to actually make a movie that was good in any conceivable way. I didn't struggle through this one as much, but I also really was like, I didn't pay attention as much as I probably could have. But I also just found it like insanely boring most of the time. I still don't like Kirk. I think bringing Spock back is stupid. This is the Boba Fett like level of bringing back a character that I think should have just been left dead. I don't remember Khan all that much either, and I definitely tolerated it more. I don't know if I'm developing some type of Stockholm syndrome with this now at this point. So I want to say like a 2.01.
Is this where I tell him that this score is better than your first Star Trek movie?
This is about 0.2 points higher than Wrath of Khan, so.
And 0.1 points higher than first one. Whatever, I'll take it. Ron, what you got?
Okay, so unlike Chuck, okay,
Before you do that, Chuck, generic continuum. I'm going to say no, probably.
Yeah, this is so bad, I wouldn't even like make people watch this. I wouldn't like subject them to like. There's nothing to make fun of in it.
So like, that, see, that's where that you're wrong.
A lot to make fun of.
See, that's where you're wrong because I watched it with two other people, And it actually made it, I think that's why it was better for me than Wrath of Khan and the first movie.
Sure. Okay. But if I'm putting this on to joke around and make fun of it, especially with a bunch of casuals, I need the memes. I need the memes that people recognize. And this is not memeable. There was nothing from this that would have been like, oh, I know this reference because I know that meme. This is just a boring movie and all of my friends would be mad I put it on.
Like, you're mad for me making you watch it. Gotcha.
Right, yeah, pretty much.
All right, so, like I said, I actually like this better than I did Wrath of Khan. The storyline in this was at least a little bit better. We got a little bit better action. I've been watching my movies with people, so it's been making them a lot better for me to get through, because then I actually have to sit through and watch them.
Plus, you are making fun of them the entire time, yeah.
Exactly. And Simon throws out some good, you know, funny jokes about it and stuff. It's a good time. I gave this a 2.25, okay, which is better than what I scored the last one. So, what about you, Joey?
So I'm right there with Chris, actually, where this is not, I didn't like this better than Khan. I still like Wrath of Khan better. And, you know, I agree with you guys that there are some issues with Khan, but this one, like I said before, though, I remember that distinctively because of Christopher Lloyd, because of David dying, because Spock coming back. Like, I do remember this movie a lot more than I remember The Wrath of Khan. But there's a lot of problems with this movie. But it's still enjoyable. Like, I still enjoyed watching it. And I would have no issue watching again, like, in the trilogy sense. Like, if I could sit down, I'll watch Wrath of Khan, I'll watch The Search for Spock, and I'll watch The Voyage Home, the fourth one. But I also don't ever plan on watching these ever again for a while. So, that being said, I gave this one a 5.07. So, just slightly higher than Chris. But it's still lower than Wrath of Khan for me. Which gives us a combined score of 3.58, which will drop it in at number 113 out of 141 movies, just behind Street Fighter II, the animated movie, and just above Hellboy animated Blood and Iron.
I would happily rewatch those a billion times.
I know you would.
Yeah.
I know you would.
Wow, that's crazy.
So. Well, Chuck, though, you got to remember that these two guys are definitely boosting the score up way higher than it should be. So it scored more than this.
Yeah, as per usual, Trekkies are ruining it for me.
So. But, Chuck, that's also kind of like how you boost
Just the Toxic worst Avenger, movies?
Yeah, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's not true. The last two I scored appropriately.
I was just talking about the first one that you gave like a 9.99 to.
That's because it's a good movie. That's justified, okay? It deserved a 9.4 or some whatever stupid score I gave it.
Fair enough.
Oh, shit. But
all right, so that is that. Chris, thank you for coming on again and torturing yourself with this movie.
Absolutely.
Where can people find you online if you want them to find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on all the socials at Chris Balga. You can catch me on the Geek Ultimate Alliance Network with Marvel Alliance every week, and check it out live on Thursday nights in the Geekverse Podcast YouTube channel or audio on Marvel Alliance solo feed. And you can catch me every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Brave and the Boys channel for the Organic Price Books Weekly Buyer's Guide.
Awesome. Chuck?
Hey, you know where you can find me? On our once-a-month show that comes out on Sundays at the end of the month called Getting Franchised, the latest and greatest of movie franchises, where Joey, I, and other people potentially, occasionally, Ron came on for one, where we review the latest and greatest of franchises. We've been doing a horror run this year for this first season, and you can check the backlog. We've done Hellraiser, we did Child's Play, we did The Evil Dead, We did My Bloody Valentine. We will be doing, at time of recording, and depending on when this comes out, Dawn of the Dead, which, in fact, almost broke me when we were recording this episode. And you'll hear all about it and why. So
the OG one?
Yeah. Yeah. I realized that I had never seen it.
I have only seen bits and pieces of it, and I'm just like, I don't know if I could make it through. I've seen clips of it, and that was more than enough for me to be like, you know what? This is one of those ones I'll just have to take people's word for it, that it is a movie.
Yeah, and it's weird because I remember when the remake came out, everybody was telling me how good the first one was, and now I think everybody was on drugs.
Did it come out?
83?
Yeah.
Then yeah, they were in. That was
78. Sorry, 78.
Oh yeah. So yeah, you're looking at like cocaine levels right here. You know.
No, I'm talking about my friends in high school who were like, "Oh, it's a really good movie." Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're looking at like cocaine levels.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they were doing a lot of drugs. So check that out. Of course, we're giving that away for free now because
you guys are awesome.
Yeah, fuck the network, not Chris's network. Despite what has ever been edited on this show. We're using deepfakes to say whatever has been said about the Geek Ultimate Alliance specifically is not true, Chris. Don't believe the nonsense that Joey has made up. And you may have heard at time of
Network 2.
At time of release is not true. Only the Perpetual Casual Network can suck the entire contents of my dick and balls, but not your network, Chris. Please understand that, okay?
And from what I've heard, there's at least somebody in that network who has sucked the entire contents of his cock and balls, so.
No, not true. Yeah, not
say now.
Legally, wow. For legal reasons, that is not true. But you can find me on all social media platforms, Kicked Out of the Hood, No E and Kicked. You can find my hobby page, Kicked Out of the Hobby, No E and Kicked, where I'm still doing my no buy hobby extravaganza. So that's going, let's say, well. So,
attaboy.
Okay. Yeah, we're doing it. But listen, my bank account is really loving it, honestly. I haven't had this much money in a long time, so it's good stuff.
Ronald?
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Blue Sky, other places at Good At This Game. You can find my art on Instagram at Good Art This Game. You can find me right here on this podcast and where this podcast is sold. You can find our shirts on just TeePublic now, right?
It's still up on Redbubble. I haven't had a chance to
hold on. And Redbubble, but Redbubble doesn't have quite the selection that TeePublic does for our wonderful shirts. And, yeah, Joey, where can they find you?
Yeah, you guys can find the show on the social medias, at Comic Book Rundown, so just search up Comic Rundown. I haven't been posting on there. I've been stupid busy with all that, but maybe I'll get back to it eventually, even though social media sucks. You can email us, comicbookrundown@gmail.com. You can rate and review us on your podcasting app of choice. Also, the last Friday of the month, is when I'm dropping our comic reviews. Comic Book Rundown reviews are coming back.
Man, I'm glad I didn't have to read the issues that you were talking about. Yeah, because that sounded so boring. Not you reading it, but like just the concept of the story that was going on.
Firestorm ones were better than I expected. The Daredevil ones, however, which came out last month,
Well, I mean, they're 70s Daredevil, so they're going to be dog shit.
Yeah.
Because I remember covering the, a couple issues or a couple arcs of those, actually. 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's, well.
They were rough.
But yeah, so, got that going on every last Friday. Like I said, last month we did, I did Daredevil. Then this month, Ron and I are getting together to do, actually today. Yep, day this episode drops, we got together to do Geiger.
Geiger, so, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I actually just pulled that out of the bag that you gave me last Sunday.
Good.
And opened it up.
Because we might be getting on that soon.
Awesome.
And then our song was done by the Father Doctor Cam, who was formerly known as the Father Doctor, something like that.
Yeah,
I never remember.
And formerly, he fucked a turtle and something else.
Oh, what was that band's name? I don't remember now.
Sex Turtles.
Thank you. I could remember. Annie Hoozle.
Yeah, Cam,
shame on you.
Cam seems like a guy who would fuck a turtle. Like, if you ever met Cam, he seems like a turtle fucker. I'm not
kidding. I mean, he was on the show.
I say, yeah, I've talked to him on the show, but he didn't. I don't know. I can't remember that long ago, but.
Oh, I do remember there was one episode you and I were doing a chitty chat with him and realized that I hadn't recorded like the episode, like half the episode. So we literally were just talking to him for like an hour. That was great. That one never went up, obviously, because had nothing. Yeah.
Anyways, what's our next movie?
Anyway, so yeah, our next movie will be Judge Dredd from 1995.
Fuck, yes.
Oh, man, Joe. All right. By the way, you got a strike for sure. You definitely got a strike.
Up to two. I dabbed one when I got Tank Girl.
That's true. You did say you took one off for Tank Girl.
Did I take one away? Okay, so you got one. Okay,
thank you.
Speaking of Tank Girl, I did get the anthology.
Oh, wait, you have to let me know how that is.
And fun fact, it comes with a paper of her, and she got boobies.
I can't see it. Hold it closer to the camera.
Yeah,
anyway.
She's got
the boobies. Hey, look at that.
It's all.
Hey, it's after an hour. We're fine.
Yeah, you're fine. But then it comes, and then you can cut out all of her clothes and dress her up like a paper doll. Isn't that fun? That's
cool. Now I got to edit this more. Thanks. All right. Thank you all for listening.
It's all Ron's fault.
Bye. It's my fault.
I should have ended it before then.
Yeah.
You have the power. Like, you've got the
button. You literally can hang this up. You can end the entire show.